Hi, my name is Danielle, and you're listening to Crime and Mystery Canada. On this podcast, we discuss subjects that might be creepy to some and sometimes even frightening. Some of our episodes will deal with serious subject matter, while others will be more lighthearted. Please keep in mind that I am not an expert on any of the topics I cover, just an interested party, and as always, listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone, I'm Danielle.
I'm Paul-Emile.
And you're listening to Crime and Mystery Canada. On tonight's episode, we'll be talking about the Norse exploration of North America, and more specifically, the existence and possible location of the land known as Vinland. Now, I will point out, as I have before, that I am in no ways a historian, and I'm more interested in the mystery and lore surrounding this than anything else, but I did my best to be as historically accurate as possible. The ability of the Vikings to reach North America was a fact that was long disputed among scholars until a Viking settlement was discovered in L'Anse aux Meadows in Newfoundland in 1961. This discovery gave everyone pause. If the Vikings had indeed reached North America, what about the other lands that they spoke about in their tales of adventure? Were they also real? Notably, they spoke of a land called Vinland, where the wild grapes grew, a land that was abundant in resources. Where was this land they had called Vinland located? Have you heard of Vinland?
I have heard of Vinland. I'm not sure where it's located.
I'm not sure we'll actually solve that mystery tonight, but we'll try. I think we all have this romantic view of what the Vikings are, and this image has really been cultivated by the media. But who does the term Viking really refer to? According to the website CanadianMysteries.ca, it has become really common to refer to all Scandinavians from the year 850 to 1500 AD as Vikings. But scholars prefer to call them Norse because they would only have referred to themselves as Vikings when they were out raiding. So I guess the word Viking is kind of similar as the word pirate. So it's more like when they were doing this action.
They actually had the hat with the horns on.
Sure, I'm not sure they actually all had those hats, but something along those lines. The Norse expansion spread all through Europe. They were experts at navigating the seas and were constantly looking for new resources and looking to expand their territory. Around the year 985, a small group of Icelanders settled in Greenland. It would not be long before they would be headed over to North America. The Norse's written histories suggested that they made it to North America, but without concrete proof, scholars were left to wonder. There was disagreement about whether or not they did make it at all, and if they did, where exactly they would have gone. Several researchers had suggested the Strait of Belle Isle as the area to search for Norse artifacts. So this is a strait that's located between Newfoundland and Labrador and a little bit of northern Quebec. The search for Norse artifacts began in 1914, and several people explored these areas. But it wasn't until the 1960s that any evidence of the Norse presence was discovered. In the 1960s, a Norwegian writer named Helgi Ingstad claimed to have discovered a Viking settlement in L'Anse aux Meadows in Newfoundland. It just so happens that his wife, who was quite skeptical of his discovery, according to an article on Ancient EU, she just so happened to also be an archaeologist. The site was excavated by his wife, Anne Stein Ingstad, who had to conclude that it was indeed of Norse origin. I kind of wonder how that conversation went when she had to admit he was actually right.
Yeah, it's a rarity probably. But I have a comment about the discovery that they made, because in some of the readings that I've done in the past, it was common knowledge in Newfoundland that there were ruins there. Mm-hmm. And I read at one point where some of the locals were asked if they knew of any ruins or unexplained foundations and things like that. And basically, the locals pointed about to where there were some. So they discovered it, but
Officially, it was discovered by this couple then, but I don't think that's necessarily unusual when the locals, like, it's passed down in lore and things like that, but to find concrete proof, you actually need people to come in and point at things and say that this has been tested and checked and vetted as actually indicating that they were here.
I think another thing is, unlike other areas in Canada where they could get some of the information from the First Nations that had been here way before, there was a problem with speaking with First Nations people in Newfoundland because I believe there are none of the Beato people left there in Newfoundland.
Oh, really?
So that part of the history is gone.
Right. And they would have interacted, obviously, with the Norse when they arrived. For the people who don't know, we did mention runes. Runes are generally what the Norse would have used for communication. It was a way to leave information behind. So instead of writing it on something that could have been destroyed, it was usually on metal, bone, or rock. So when you find runes, it's usually indication that someone was trying to leave a message to someone else in that area. So maybe information about directions to sail, where to go hunting, where the treasure of Oak Island is located. It depends who you're talking to and what kind of rune was left behind, but that's usually what they're there for. The excavation of the site in L'Anse aux Meadows continued by the couple, by the Ingstads, until 1968. And the village that they discovered was dated back to the 11th century. Helgi thought that he had found the mysterious location of Vinland, of which the Norse spoke in some of their stories, which were referred to as sagas. Others disagreed with his theory, though, and they stated that Vinland meant land of wine, where wild grapes grew, and grapes had never grown in this area.
I've been to L'Anse aux Meadows, and it's pretty barren.
Yeah. So they actually say that there would have been a lot more trees than there are right now back then, but I don't think the climate that they have is at all conducive to growing grapes.
I don't think so.
So the scholars were disputing that because Vinland meant land of wine, this couldn't possibly be Vinland. But as any Canadian who recalls the Part of Our Heritage commercial, we know that language is often something that can be disputed as well. The meaning of certain words is not always correctly understood. So Helge countered by saying that Vinland didn't actually mean the land of wine, but instead it meant a land of meadows and pastures, which from my understanding and from seeing pictures would fit the area better.
Yes, it does.
According to what was discovered on the site of L'Anse aux Meadows, there would have been 7 buildings on the site. These buildings were for living and sleeping quarters, and some of them would have been work areas. But they didn't actually discover any buildings for animals, which was unusual for Norse settlements. They also know that the site was occupied for only a certain number of years before it was completely abandoned. The site where the Norse village is situated is not a spot that they would normally pick to settle, because it's really open and exposed to the wind. But on the other hand, it's pointed out that because of its location, which is on the northern tip of the northern peninsula of Newfoundland, it would have been really easy to locate. So if they were traveling back and forth from Greenland to L'Anse aux Meadows, or they were telling people how to get there, if they were on that point, it would have been easier to recognize where they were.
Newfoundland is known as being pretty rocky.
Yeah.
And that area is a flat area which would have been visible from a good distance out at sea.
So probably better for landing a ship as well.
Yes, it would be.
As interest in the site mounted, the government of Canada decided to declare it a national historic site. Through the 70s, they continued the excavation of the site and discovered many First Nations artifacts that predated the Norse's arrival by several thousand years, and some as recent as the 14th century. So that brings us to Vinland. We mentioned that Helge Ingstad thought that he had discovered Vinland, but what exactly is Vinland, and why do we know about it? The Norse have 2 written accounts about the discovery of Vinland, called the Vinland Sagas. As well, sprinkled through their preserved written accounts, there are references to a land called Vinland, which is rich in resources. So we have 2 different sagas about the Norse visiting Vinland. The first one is the Saga of the Greenlanders, and it speaks of 4 different expeditions to Vinland. The second saga is Erik the Red Saga, and according to this one, the Norse established two bases during their stay in Vinland, but they ended up being driven out due to fighting with the local native people. According to the sagas, after the Norse settled in Greenland, they became aware that there was land further west. As they explored further west, they discovered three regions, which they referred to as Helluland, Land of the Rock Slabs, Markland, which is Land of the Forests, and the third one was Vinland, Land of the Wine. According to the sagas, this third area was where the Norse turned their interest. But where was it? So we need to talk a little bit more about the sagas here in the sense that they need to be taken for what they are. They weren't written in situ, so they weren't written at the time that these events were happening. So it's an account of an oral history, but it was only written hundreds of years after the events actually happened. So the stories about discovering these lands passed down through oral tradition from generation to generation, and at one point got written down. It's been determined that some of what's written is actually very accurate, but sometimes out of order with some events added or exaggerated, according to CanadianMysteries.ca.
So oral history, when families are repeating it, they will tend to embellish certain things, but it's all based on facts, so...
Right, so it's like any story. If I tell a story about something happening and I tell you... And then you go tell it to someone else, and then that just keeps getting passed along. The basis of the story might still remain, like the basics of what happened, but there might be some things added on, some things that got dropped off, just to make the story more interesting. So let's dive into some of the possible locations of Vinland. The first one that we have to talk about is Newport, Rhode Island. The reason that some believe that this is the location of Vinland is that there is a tower in Newport. It's called the Newport Tower, and it's believed by some to have been built by the Norse. A scholar declared that it was actually a round church that they would have built in the 1100s. But other people state that it was actually built in the mid-17th century by Benedict Arnold, who was the governor of the colony of Newport. So its origins are still being disputed today. I feel like there would be a way to tell if it was the 1100s or the 1700s. I feel like some things would be very different.
Well, especially now with all the technology that's available, and anybody that's watched The Curse of Oak Island and how they're able to carbon date things, and there has to be a way to get a specific date on it. The other thing with that is where it's located. I think our neighbors in the south prefer to think it was Benedict Arnold than anybody else.
Yeah, and what could lend to confusion, though, as well, is if there was a tower there that was heavily modified at one point. So if there was actually a tower there and then it was heavily modified in the 17th century, it might be a little bit hard to distinguish exactly when it was built.
And it wouldn't make sense that they would take the existing structure and make it bigger or higher. They've already got the base for it, so yeah. It could be something hidden underneath.
And I didn't look heavily into this. I kind of just looked at the general places to where they think Vinland might be. But I suspect if it's disputed, there's probably a pretty strong conclusion on it, and it's just not everyone agrees with that conclusion.
Right, and I also heard with all of the strange places that I get my information at one point, that they've actually have found some ruins that are similar to what is in Anso Meadows.
Oh, yes.
In Rhode Island, and they're still doing some research on it, but there is some indication that they were there in Rhode Island.
In Rhode Island.
Are there grapes there?
I think all of the locations we're talking about, grapes do grow. Wild grapes, okay. Yeah. A second possible location is near Berkeley in Massachusetts. There's a rock there called the Dighton Rock, which is carved with symbols and drawings. Some believe it's actually from the local First Nations people or Portuguese explorers, but others dispute that these carvings are Norse as well. Again, there wasn't a ton of information about that, so I feel like that dispute might sway more one way than another.
And again, it's what are the First Nations' belief that rock is? What is their oral history of it?
Right. The other thing also is if you think about it, and the Norse had contact with the natives of whatever area they were landing on. Yes, I know at one point there were battles and things like that, and maybe that's what ended up driving them out. But a lot of times, originally, the contact isn't necessarily violent, and they may have sort of learned some things from one another. So if you're carving a rune stone and you learn these symbols from certain people, you might be carving those symbols into your stone as well. So I can see how it's possible that it's from the native people of the area, but also if they did include some Norse symbols, it might mean that they had contact at one point. There's also a case being made for Vinland being in Cape Cod. A high school teacher named Frederick Pohl looked at the saga's translations and took all the concrete information he could find there. So he was looking at the distances that were talked about, the directions, and the descriptions, and from there he decided that Nova Scotia would have been the area they referred to as Markland. The next landmass south of there, which would be Cape Cod, would therefore be Vinland. Interestingly, they did discover some mooring holes that they believe might be Norse, and these mooring holes, they were basically used when the Norse believed they might need to leave really quickly. They would drill holes into the rocks and insert mooring pins into these holes where they would attach their ships. So if they needed to leave all of a sudden, they could just tug the pin out of the hole and go. So it made their departure a lot easier. The problem with this one is that the information that Frederick Pohl used is really disputed because they say like the distances, the directions, and all that are really not accurate in these sagas. They're just sort of generalities. So that brings us to our final possible location that we'll talk about tonight, which also happens to be my favorite. So in Lazo Meadows, they discovered butternuts and a piece of butternut wood that would not be native to that area. So butternuts are basically a type of a species of walnuts. This led archaeologists to look at New Brunswick as one of the possible sites for Vinland. Butternuts are not native to PEI or to Nova Scotia. They're not native to Newfoundland, but they did grow in New Brunswick. Wild grapes and butternuts tend to grow together and be ripe around the same time. So whoever came across the butternuts in the wood would also have come across wild grapes. And both of these things grew in New Brunswick.
There's actually is a bakery in New Brunswick called Butternut Bakery.
Oh, really?
Well, I believe it was in my area. I don't know if it still exists, but they delivered bread all over the province.
So both the grapes and the butternuts grow along the Restigouche River, which would be from the area you're from, and apparently they grow along the banks of the Miramichi as well. So the butternuts and the grapes are evidence that New Brunswick's claim to be Vinland might actually be true. But let's keep in mind that these things also grew in areas south of New Brunswick, in New England, and even more southerly areas. So there's not enough evidence to prove that Vikings were in New Brunswick or specifically that area of New Brunswick, but it's enough to establish that the Norse must have explored somewhere around these areas at some point.
One of the things that probably works against us in New Brunswick for discovering some of that history is we're known as the world's highest tides in the Fundy region, and you can well imagine that a lot of history has been destroyed by in storms and erosion and everything. So there could very well be things, but underwater now.
For sure. And when you think about it too, it's such time has passed that it might be really hard to find anything at this point. I found another article that discusses where the areas explored by the Norse might be. According to the Ancient EU website, an article written by Emma Groeneveld, Vinland, according to her, would refer to the area from the Gulf of Belle Isle to the Gulf of St. Lawrence and its southern shores. So she describes it as a much larger area, which might kind of more closely match what Helge believed when he said, okay, I discovered L'Anse aux Meadows and this is where it is. And she's saying, well, it's not exactly there. It's much more vast what they were talking about. And according to that same article, the wooded area of Markland would then correspond to central Labrador and Helluland would be Northern Labrador or Baffin Island.
Another interesting thing with the butternut trees is we talk about the Restigouche and Miramichi River, which are really, they can bring boats up with the tides in both of those rivers, but quite a long ways inland. So they would have had the ability to go a long ways and to explore on the high tide with a ship.
According to the ancient EU article, L'Anseau Meadows would have been used as a gathering point. So if they had to repair a ship, they would go there. It would be their living quarters. But they weren't always staying there. They would have been exploring around the whole area. So everyone arguing about where this place is or where that place is, or did they go there? Obviously, it would be nice to know where they went, but they did go somewhere. According to this article, we can strongly lean towards the fact that they were exploring. They were all over. And maybe it's just a matter of time to find artifacts, or maybe they're destroyed. But we can pretty much rest assured that they were all over the area if they were in L'Anseau Meadows. According to this article as well, the village would have been abandoned after about 10 years. The Norse left very little behind when they abandoned the village, which leads us to believe that they packed up and left, so they didn't leave in a rush. They possibly left because it was too much of a hassle to do the voyage from Greenland and back. But also because of battles with the natives of the area that were causing them problems. So if you look at that as a theory, one, it might explain why we don't find much artifacts, because they were the original leave no trace people, where they just picked everything up when they left and brought it back with them. But also, if they were having battles or fights with the natives, it obviously wasn't so bad that they just retreated to their ships and left. It was probably something sort of more ongoing over the longer term.
I think they discovered also some arrowheads embedded in remains, haven't they, of Norse people?
I didn't read anything about that. It's possible, though.
Yeah, well, so there is a whole group of people who think there was an actual battle or an ongoing battle, but I did read that they found arrowheads embedded in remains of Norse. And the other thought that I have on that, with the 10 years, staying there about 10 years and just at their leisure packing up and leaving, they may have had funding for 10 years from whoever was in charge, you know, were financing
their voyage,
search for different lands, and the contract was up. The contract was up, so they went home.
And that's possible. I mean, you would have seen that with a lot of European exploration, where they were funded for a certain amount of time, and if they didn't come back with anything, well, then that was that. So that's possible. The other thing is, they weren't sending parties big enough to actually populate in any way. So research shows that you need to have pretty much at least 500 people in an area to even think about beginning to establish, you know, a colony there. And they definitely weren't sending those numbers, because if they were coming from Greenland, they didn't have those high numbers there either. So they weren't even able to send that amount of people over. So we know for certain that the Norse were at L'Anseau Meadows. There's concrete evidence that they were there, and they may have traveled to other areas of North America. Exactly where and when they went is disputed. We might never know for sure exactly where they went, but there's strong evidence that they were around.
Well, 1960, to me, is not that long ago.
It's not that long ago.
Someday they may discover some sign somewhere in a place where they've never thought of looking, and find proof of where exactly they had been.
Well, when you think of it, if you look at the timeline of when they would have been there versus when everything was discovered in L'Anseau Meadows, 1960s wasn't that long ago. If they were there in the 11th century and it was only discovered in 1960, that's a really long time. So there's very possibly things that are still out there just waiting for us to discover. I guess what that means, though, is if you're in those areas, I guess, of Canada or of the US even, along that coast, you might want to keep an eye out when you're going through the woods, because I think sometimes we probably walk across things that are really interesting and just completely overlook them because we don't realize what we're looking at.
Well, in 40 years, I've seen where my cabin is, schools, churches, and buildings completely disappear with absolutely no sign of it remaining over 40 years. So it's overgrown, it's been transformed into a field. So unless you had been there 40 years ago, there's no indication there was anything there.
I just even think about myself, how I can drive the same road every day and then all of a sudden look and go, was that house always there? So I've seen it a million times and I've never even clued in. So I do feel like there's so much out there that we just still haven't discovered. And I think sometimes we feel like we know everything, and I think that's very far from the truth.
Yeah, you're right there.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
I'd actually like just to tell everybody that's listening, if they ever have the opportunity to go to Newfoundland and take the time to drive to Anse Aux Meadows, it's a very interesting sight. It's very rugged country, and it's amazing to see how they were able to survive in that barren land for however long they stayed there. It's very interesting to see how they did things. And it's a working village
Yeah.
during the tourist season. So you go there and they're basically living like as close as they know, like they did back then. So it was a different time. We like to complain we're having it hard right now, but let me tell you, we wouldn't have lasted very long back then.
Life was a little bit harder back then. So we're going to finish up tonight the way we usually do with our moment of kindness. I was at a grocery store the other day, and grocery shopping is one of my least favorite activities. So I saw a man who seemed to be in a big rush, and he was basically had his arms full of things. I've done that before where I'm only going in for four things and then end up picking up 10 and I can't keep everything in my arms. Obviously, he should have gotten a basket and he didn't. So I was kind of laughing at myself as I was watching him because I do this all the time. And then I saw an older lady walk up to him with her basket, and she only had one thing in there. And she said, "Why don't you take this?" And he was like, No, it's okay, it's fine." And she said, "No, I've got time. I'll go back and get another basket. You just take mine." And she just left it there and walked off. So he kind of looked around at first and like dumped his things in. But I thought that was really nice. I know if it was myself, I'd probably be slightly embarrassed because I should know better and just take a basket when I go in. But it was really kind of her to just be like, "Look, you're struggling, just take mine. It'll only take me 2 seconds to get another one." So it was a sweet moment to witness.
It is, and especially in these difficult times where you're going into grocery stores, you're not comfortable to start with. You're trying to keep track of the arrows on the ground and what direction you're supposed to be going in. So the fact that you actually noticed that you were struggling with that and stepped in, it's great.
So that's all for tonight. I'd love to hear from everyone about their moments of kindness. They can be things that happened to you, things that you've witnessed, or things that you've done yourself. You can write me at crimeandmysterycanada@gmail.com or reach out on Instagram at crimeandmysterycanada. I think that next week we'll actually be covering a case that was a listener's suggestion, so please feel free to reach out with those as well. I hope everyone has a good night. Stay safe out there.
Good night, everybody.